You ever wondered what Amsterdam is all about? Don't just read about the culture that has accepted cannabis. Experience it firsthand with CS Travel's Sensible Amsterdam Tour with Normal. Travel to one of Europe's most beautiful cities this January for an educational and recreational visit to a city that regulates cannabis like alcohol. CS Travel has arranged an exclusive visit for reform-minded Americans that includes a private tour of some of Amsterdam's most renowned coffee shops, educational seminars with coffee shop proprietors, local law enforcement, members of the Cannabis Retailers Association, and Normal staff. Entertainment includes a special evening at the Boom Chicago Comedy Club, canal tours, visits to the city's many museums, including the world-famous Van Gogh Museum. Don't just wonder about Amsterdam, experience the beauty and freedom of this unique city firsthand with CS Travel and Normal Sensible Amsterdam Tour. Pricing information is available online at coffeeshoptravel.com. That's coffeeshoptravel.com. Or call toll-free at 800-816-1846. That's 800-816-1846. Be a sensible American. Visit Amsterdam with CS Travel and Normal this January. Call 1-800-816-1846 right now to book your trip. More information is available at normal.org. Distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back to Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Today, it's Wednesday, September 26th. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to help end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit NORML.org to make your donation or join Normal today. We've got another great Wednesday stash for you here today with our cannabis science segment featuring Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Also a good variety of music here today. Tomorrow on the program, we'll speak with Dale Gerringer from California Normal about the hemp cultivation bill out there, as well as what's happening with different counties who are actually regulating their medical marijuana dispensaries. Also on the program tomorrow, we'll get back to our interviews with author David R. Ford from Good Medicine, Great Sex. David will be out at the conference in Los Angeles, the 2007 annual Normal Conference. He'll be on a panel about senior citizens and cannabis consumption. You can actually book your tickets still for the Normal 2007 conference and get your hotel rooms. We have links right up on our website at normalaudiostash.com. There's going to be a lot of great speakers and panels there, folks. If you're interested in reform, you should definitely make the Normal Conference this year. Let's get into our audio stash today with our cannabis science segment. Each Wednesday, we get the chance to speak with Dr. Mitch Earlywine about cannabis science. Mitch is professor of psychology at the State University of New York. He's author of Understanding Marijuana, A New Look at the Scientific Evidence, and editor of Pot Politics. He's going to have another new book coming out soon as well. Mitch also has a monthly column in High Times magazine. Mitch, welcome back to the show today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be on.
Great to speak with you again this week, Mitch. Today we're going to discuss two science stories out there. Let's begin with this article that's a little bit local to you there at SUNY, and that's in the American Journal of Addiction. It was published by the New York State Psychiatric Institute. The article is entitled, quote, Treatment of Cannabis Use Disorders, A Review of the Literature, close quote. So, Mitch, how are psychologists and treatment professionals approaching the relatively rare cases of clinical cannabis dependence?
It's interesting because this review suggests that some of the fights we've been having amongst ourselves are probably not a good use of our time. There are several different treatments for, you know, marijuana dependence, marijuana abuse, and other marijuana-related problems. I want to emphasize that these are, you know, relatively rare occurrences, and that, you know, the people who end up in treatment are usually the folks who can't quit on their own or are not interested in quitting in the first place. So if we look at these statistics and think, oh, gee, marijuana problems seem like they're really, really hard to treat. In fact, these are vast, you know, great overestimates of the real problem. And I feel like you've got, you know, the toughest of the tough to treat or the people who really aren't interested in quitting in the first place. With that in mind, they went ahead and reviewed these different treatment strategies that people have applied, and all of them work, but no single treatment is clearly better than any other. It seems like, oh my goodness, well then they're all the same, you know, we should use them all, or something's wrong, there ought to be one that's even better than all the others. This is in fact a predicament we're in with almost all of psychotherapy. So quite a few different approaches to psychotherapy can be very successful for treating all kinds of disorders, and it's not that any single one is necessarily the very best. The one result that's intriguing for this review, at least, is if you're willing to pay people for clean urine screens, yes, complete abstinence does go up, but, you know, again, how often and how long can something like that go on is certainly an interesting question.
So let me get this straight here, Mitch. One model is to actually pay people for clean urine tests.
And not only that, the more consecutive clean pees they have, the more money they get. So those, as you can imagine, are pretty inspiring for folks who are in some of these treatment programs.
Has this pay-for-clean method been used for other substances?
Been some extremely successful ones for cocaine. I mean, phenomenally so. But as you can imagine, the amount of money in the treatment is pretty extreme. And yet, you know, it does seem to really work. And unfortunately, as soon as you stop paying for clean urines, the relapse rates can hit pretty hard.
It seems like Americans have a greater addiction to money than anything else, I think.
I got to confess, it's easy to make that interpretation. The other thing is, informally, a couple of participants in these kinds of studies have said basically they saved all the money and then spent it on drugs. So perhaps the idea that complete abstinence is the goal is the problem. And if instead we focused on problems instead of just clean urine, maybe things would be a little better.
Now, Mitch, this article also mentioned dual diagnoses for individual patients. So it seems like these patients are coming in for a certain psychological condition. And, oh, by the way, they're also smoking cannabis.
In fact, it seems to be the most problematic crew. So people particularly with the psychotic disorders or bipolar disorder tend to have a rough time going completely abstinent from any substance. And, you know, alcohol, caffeine, all these other things can certainly exaggerate their symptoms as well. And it's really documented that they would improve. But, you know, of course, they have a harder time with all kinds of tasks, and quitting cannabis is one of those.
But also seem that because so many treatment methods were successful here, that cannabis dependence, although again very rare, is not particularly difficult to treat.
Well, and what's curious too is what this suggests to me is that a good relationship with a good therapist who you trust can be really what matters, not where did this person go to school or what exact treatment is this person using, so much as have we formed a nice relationship based on genuineness and warmth and empathy, and then what a surprise, I'm more willing to talk about negative consequences and reconsider cannabis use in a different light.
Righto, Mitch. Well, let's get into our second story here today, and this one comes from the United Kingdom, and an enlightened article at that. So much of what we see out there from the UK lately is truly reefer madness. Papers are calling cannabis super potent and are blaming marijuana for everything from crime to mental illness to suicide. It really is reefer madness over there right now. But this new report from the King's College shows that cannabis potency in the UK hasn't really increased in 10 years, which flies in the face of all this political and media propaganda lately.
I was really happy to see that this actually got some media coverage. Leslie Iverson, who's a pharmacologist at the UK, has been saying, yes, the peak, you know, the very top potencies may have increased a little bit, but the average really hasn't. And now we've got a really compelling data set, I think, suggesting that even across this entire decade, there hasn't been a meaningful increase in THC potency. And then if this could potentially undermine those ridiculous stories about, you know, someone smoked pot once and killed herself. I mean, I'm always sorry to hear anyone commit suicide, but the idea that cannabis did that is just preposterous. And then some of the things we have here in the States, where the Journal of the American Medical Association will publish a paper saying, look at all these increases in abuse and dependence. Oh, it must be the stronger pot. And then there's no measure of the strength of the pot even included in the study. And the fact that abuse has increased potentially because basically one of the symptoms of abuse is getting arrested, nobody seems to address that issue. And so, you know, I write letters all the time. I know lots of the listeners do too. Let's just keep this up. And anytime, you know, a UK paper publishes something like this, I want to make sure they get lots of praise. And anytime they publish these alarmist statistics about, ooh, the new super pot, let's make sure that we can reference this news story and make sure everybody hears about it.
And why do you think that this issue of potency in marijuana gets so much propaganda press in the UK and here in the US?
We're to the point now where the majority of folks not the majority, but over 40% of the folks of legal voting age have now used cannabis. And so clearly we need to pretend like there's some new horrible cannabis in order to whip these people into the frenzy necessary to keep the prohibition going. And perhaps a few people are getting sucked into this. Certainly a number of media sources are. And this argument, as you know, John Morgan has said before, is practically 40 years old anyway. We've been hearing about the new super pot since the 1970s. In fact, we don't really have very compelling data to suggest that stronger pot is any more dangerous. And at least one study suggests that stronger cannabis leads to basically taking smaller inhalations and smoking less and decreasing any kind of respiratory complications that might arise from using cannabis in the first place.
Now, we see science and politics mix on a variety of issues, from global warming to stem cell research. But, Mitch, this latest stuff from the UK had a really a strange use of politics and science when it comes specifically to marijuana lately.
I think that it's comparable in the UK now. And when I talk to folks who live over there, they say the relatively new administration wants to leave their mark. And they want to make it clear that this isn't just business as usual. This is not just, you know, Tony Blair 2, if you will. And so they want to do something that's going to be really salient, going to have a lot of headlines, and going to give them at least the illusion of having some sort of impact. And this is just one of several different domains where they're hammering on things. And it's kind of unfortunate because it really sounds like we just want to change for change's sake. And when I look around here in the U.S., I'm always happy to see individual states are you know, more and more likely to approve medical cannabis, and we're getting more and more enlightened attitudes when we see, you know, big surveys on medical cannabis and things like that. And I feel like this is the last dying push of the prohibitionists who want to make this sound like it's worse than it is and hope that they can maintain things and even, you know, alter the way things have progressed in the past.
This also brings us back to the FBI Uniform Crime Report data this week, Mitch. I mean, showing almost 830,000 Americans arrested for marijuana violations in 2006. I mean, do people get detached from these big numbers? I have to wonder how we can get across the macro here on this impact of marijuana prohibition on society with so many arrests.
I was flabbergasted to see these statistics because it's worse than it was last year. And in an effort to try to get the magnitude of these numbers across, I said, okay, everyone, we're going to be silent for 1 second for every marijuana arrest of last year. Come back in 9 days. And suddenly you realize, holy cow, this is a lot of arrests. And I don't know how else to get it across. I've been trying to, you know, get people to put a bunch of BBs in a jar. I mean, how do we get this idea of 800,000 across to people? It's just so huge. And then, of course, I think people do shut down. I mean, we're talking about, you know, close to a minute on these arrests. It's just insane. And people really don't know what to do. And again, if it's not happening right in front of you, often you don't think it's as prevalent as it is. And as you take a close look at that FBI report, of course, who's getting hit the hardest? It's people of color and people of, you know, lower socioeconomic means. And that is just, you know, so embarrassing, something that, you know, America really needs to take steps towards fixing, because that is just completely unfair and counter to everything this country was founded on.
There's also a very interesting gender disparity here with marijuana arrests, and that's a huge majority of those arrested are men, and because women aren't arrested at the same rates, you know, how can we get more participation in reform, I think, from women as well?
When you take a good look at rates of use, women do use less and less often than men, but clearly not. Only 9% of the users are women, and so obviously that's a key issue. I have found, when I look back in the history of alcohol prohibition, who's really instrumental? It was the moms, right? Suddenly the moms are saying, hey, my kids are not going to go to jail for taking a sip of a beer. We need your help. And I'd love to do anything we can at the Normal Conference this year, you know, throughout the entire anti-prohibition movement, to say, what can we do to make it easier on you? And some of these groups are really wonderful, so that when the moms band together, suddenly everybody listens, and they have a respect that, you know, university professors obviously don't have. And I would love to see that happen. But then to say, oh, gee, it's their job, they should all handle it, that's not the message I really want to send. When you talk to law enforcement folks about this, they say, you know, it's the guys who are distributing outside, using cannabis out in public, and the guys are more involved in the sense of making bigger buys and things along those lines. And so that's their rationale. But I just find it really unlikely that it's this disparate, that, you know, literally over 90% of all these things are men. And so obviously there's, you know, there's a bias there, and there's something that we need to address.
Well, one has to wonder why the mainstream media doesn't highlight these marijuana arrest numbers more each year. They like to focus on the individual busts. I was saying this to Alan the other day, but they like to focus on these individual busts, and they largely ignore this macro, huge, almost a million Americans getting arrested each year.
And anybody does better with something he or she can visualize. And so often the story of one of these really dramatic, unfair, debilitating arrests can have a bigger impact than all the statistics in the world. When you look at Eric Schlosser's Reefer Madness book, for example, he's got a wonderful narrative about one person's experience, and that's easier for people to remember than numbers over 800,000 and that kind of stuff. And so I do feel like folks who've experienced these arrests, if they're willing to come out and step forward and say, here's what happened and here's why I think it's unfair, that often can be very newsworthy. And I can only hope that that would be the sort of thing that media would jump on.
Well, Mitch, this has been a great conversation, as always. I really appreciate you joining us each week right here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
It's a real pleasure for me, Chris.
Mitch, thank you again. Dr. Mitch Earlywine is professor of psychology at the State University of New York. He's author of Understanding Marijuana, A New Look at the Scientific Evidence, and the editor of Pot Politics. We have links to the books at normalaudiostash.com. You can also check out his monthly column in High Times magazine. Stay tuned. We have a variety of very good music coming up for you here next.
You're listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers, and nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and coworkers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
Hey, is it 420 yet? This is Rick Cusick from High Times Magazine, and you're tuned into NORML's Audio Stash.
Next up today, we have some music found up at podshow.com. We have links to all the artists we play at normalaudiostash.com.
White widow, super skunk and Afghan special, Durban poison, Maui Wowie and Big Bud, California, squidgy black and mixed sativa. Mary Jane, I smoked my last one. Someone roll another joint. Orange four-way, Holland's Hope and Hindu Kush, Shiva Shanti, Mr. Nice and Juicy Fruit, Smokey Bear, Power Plant and Pink 19, Special K, Black Dominia and Blue Velvet, Mary Jane, smoke my last one. Someone roll another joint. Mary Jane, smoke my last one. Someone roll another joint.
You're listening to Pod Safe Music on NORML's Daily Audio Stash.
Into the groove, where we lose ourselves just to find who we are. Into the groove, where we get to fly, but we need not see the sky. Escape from the surface of what we've become. Into the groove, come for the ride. Take the plunge, soak it up like a sponge. Don't be afraid of tonight. Everything. So ourselves just to find who we are. Into the groove where we get to fly, but we need not see the sky. Into the groove where we escape from the surface of what we've become.
That was Ziggy Marley with Into the Groove. Before that, we heard The Den Collective with Mary Chain, I've Smoked My Last One. Great tracks found up at podshow.com. We're going to round out our Wednesday show here today with a brand new track from the Cottonmouth Kings. Here's one from the Cloud 9 album, which I got to say is my favorite Cottonmouth Kings album so far. Great work on this brand new album. Here's the track City to City.
I ain't got no commitment on this tour, so this tour gonna be bitch Haven. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna be in the back of the van. It's gonna be called like Van Haven. Oh, we got a bus this time. That means we're gonna give the bitches like, hey baby, let's go back to Cottonmouth bus and let me bust it out. Make sure to vaporize on the bus of Pacaliga, baby.
Caribou Lou, hella super dude. Takanina standing right here in front of you. So bend it over, baby, let me see it pop. On this tour bus, we party till the pennies drop. Smell the greeny green, that's the Cottonmouth. That's my family, homie, hold up, what you talking about? If it's negative, I don't wanna hear it. Eliminate player haters with their evil spirit. Kansas City Kings, kicking it with the Kings. Take a whiff of weed and women, we for wicked things. Dame choices, bang hoy dish. From the back of the bus, you hear strange noises. Here we come, baby. It's a party, bitch. If you mad at me, hey, sorry and shit. Jack 9, baby. Cottonmouth King. Keep your man at home, lady. I'm a freaky thing.
What's up? Wake up, cause the girl's real pretty. Time to get gritty, city to city.
Hey, here, home, girl.
Ready and say, hey, kitty, kitty. It's time to get gritty, city to city.
Choo-choo, the train's coming through. Underground railroad, thought you knew. Come out, crew, drinking whiskey and brew. Going city, city, stick and move. Hey, ex-daddy, they call me daddy ass. Can I get a woo-woo from my homeboy Tech?
Say, hey, kitty, kitty.
We get it cracking, Big Chris Tech 9. What's up, blood? What's happening? Making bounce, making bounce. Sub noise in this motherfucker. Turn the party out like wow. Strange the name, KC with the gangster shit. Yeah, you know music for life, homie. Don't trip. You know how we do when we rock like this.
Like this and like that. One's cute and one's fat. But what you gonna do? Fuck it, take them both to the back. Now back it up, pretty lady. It's time to get crazy. Working like a stripper girl and give it to me, baby. The boys is wildin' out like Nick Cannon. Got 24 bitches standing in the line, panting, waiting for a chance to get a piece of the man. No, I'm not saying I'm a pimp, sip, but do what I can. Ha ha.
What's up? Wake up, cause the girl's real pretty. Time to get gritty, city to city.
Hey, yeah, homegirl.
Better yet, say hey, kitty, kitty. It's time to get gritty, city to city.
That was City to City by the Cottonmouth Kings off the brand new Cloud 9 album. You can check out our newest interview with the Cottonmouth Kings, Daddy X. That was in our August 31st audio stash. Just check out normalaudiostash.com to download that interview. We have links to Cloud 9 right up on our website at normalaudiostash.com. Listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. Podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.